You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we are back here today on Purple Friday to round out another week at the beginning of this 2021 offseason. It was a bit of a hectic week for Ravens fans, Ravens players, Ravens media, Ravens reporters, but we got through an entire day of this week without some drama. Thursday was kind of an uneventful day, and based off of how the rest of the week was going for the Ravens, it was pretty nice to have that uneventful day. But we've seen players and reporters get into little spats. We've seen another coach leave that we'll talk about here in the first segment, someone else coming in to replace him, a promotion from within the organization. But it's just been a crazy, wild week that's seen media controversy and just all this other stuff. So to have a quiet day from a Ravens perspective, it was almost a bit of a relief. But again, as we get closer to free agency and closer to the draft, things will start to pick up in a good way for this team. Acquisitions coming in, who stays, who goes. There's so much still to be done this offseason, so much still to be covered, and we will be covering it here throughout the entire offseason, 5 days a week on Locked On Ravens. But here today, I do want to talk about that coaching hire that the Ravens made, because the Ravens lost another coach. Running backs coach Matt Weiss left the team to go to Michigan to be the quarterback's coach there. So the Ravens promoted a coach from within, the first time they had done that this offseason, into a big capacity, and hired Craig Versteeg, the now running back coach, but he did hold positions with the team throughout the past 10 years, and he's a 38-year coaching veteran. So we'll be talking about what he brings to the Ravens coaching staff, what he's already brought to the Ravens coaching staff, how he's going to work with the running backs, what his relation to the running backs was before he got promoted here, and more. And then just talk about also what all these new coaching hires are going to be like for this team, especially in the early parts of training camp and when the team first gets together. I mean, the Ravens lost 9 assistant coaches this offseason, and funny enough, not one of them were their coordinators. They did not lose Greg Roman or Don Martindale or Chris Horton. The 3 coordinators stayed in Baltimore, but 9 other assistant coaches left for other opportunities. So how is that going to affect the team? We'll talk about that here today in the first segment. Then in the second and third segments, we're going to be rounding out the mock drafts here, because we got a ton. And again, I'm so appreciative for everybody who sent in their mock draft. We'll be getting into the remaining mock drafts that were sent under my tweet for my mock draft Sunday. And you might be thinking, these are a bunch of mock drafts that have been going on and that we've been talking about over these last couple of weeks, but that's just what we've gotten. And I have said that they will be read out on the show. I intend to keep that promise, and I don't want to just go through all these really fast and say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, that's a great pick, let's move on. I want to get in depth on these a little bit, because I do like to go into depth on these different prospects. It's different perspectives and different ways the Ravens can maximize their draft capital to improve their football team. So we'll be getting in to those mock drafts in the second and third segment. So let's jump right in here. We'll talk about coaching changes and how that might affect the team in this first segment, and then in the second and third segments, round out the week with some more mock drafts. So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast. We are there waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, we're going to get right into the content, starting off with the hiring of Craig Versteeg, the new running backs coach. And he's had a very extensive background, Versteeg has. He's worked with running backs, quarterbacks, wide receivers, and he's worked throughout the Ravens organization, again, for the past handful of years. He's been on the Baltimore staff since 2008, so over 10 years of experience, and he's also had 21 years of experience as a college assistant coach, and also spent 1996 with the Chicago Bears as an offensive assistant. And so he's worked with a bunch of different groups, positional groups, a bunch of different players with the Ravens as they've gone and evolved their franchise. And even before Matt Weiss left, Versteeg still had a very prominent role in helping the running backs out, like J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards. He worked very closely with the running backs, and he's someone who I think, can make an impact now that he is the head man, the new head running backs coach. And Matt Weiss is a big loss. He's a young coach. He's very experienced, a ton of great insight. And I think this is a name that we'll probably hear again. He will probably make a return to the NFL level and maybe get a coordinator position. Who knows? But I think this is not the last we've heard of Matt Weiss at the NFL level. When the Ravens made the announcement, John Harbaugh said, quote, "Craig is a highly regarded member of our staff and someone who served as an integral part of our offense for many years. He has vast experience coaching and coordinating offenses, a thorough understanding of our schemes and techniques, and has a great relationship with our running backs. Craig is a dedicated coach and teacher who has a proven ability for getting the most out of our players," end quote. And so this is exactly the type of guy that the Ravens want, I think, with their running backs. Someone who is familiar with the running backs, someone who the running backs are familiar with, because as I talked about a tiny bit in the intro to the show, there is so much coaching turnover this offseason, and the Ravens have always been that coaching goldmine. I kind of talked about it a couple of weeks ago and even back of a few months ago as well. The Ravens, they have always been a target for other teams to hire coaches from because they are a very good franchise. They continue to develop coaches year after year after year. The Ravens lose coaches year after year after year and then just hire great ones. They just turn around and hire amazing coaches again. So it's kind of like a factory, a coaching factory for these teams to hire good offensive coordinators, good defensive coordinators, good head coaches, good positional coaches. That's just what the Ravens have been, and it doesn't get any easier to see these good coaches walk out the door for Baltimore, but they've hired guys like Rob Ryan, Anthony Weaver, Keith Williams, T. Martin, a bunch of others as well. I mentioned 9 assistant coaches left Baltimore in the offseason, so that is a bunch of coaching turnover, and Marlon Humphrey tweeted out after Matt Weiss left, he said that the first practice is going to be a meet and greet because there are just so many new coaches coming in at once to this Baltimore staff. But I think that this is what Baltimore needed in a way, because it seemed like something wasn't right with the Baltimore offense. We've obviously talked about how the passing offense still has some stuff to be desired, could still do a bunch of good things, and the hirings of T. Martin and Keith Williams really helped that. The defense is still an elite unit, but getting more out of the pass rush and getting some more development out of the linebackers, that's really important. And guys like Rob Ryan and Anthony Weaver are going to be instrumental in that as well. So it's going to be tough at first. The Ravens and these new coaches, they're going to have to mesh. The players and the coaches, they're going to have to mesh. Part of what we talked about with Joe Flacco for so many years was the fact that he had a new offensive coordinator almost every single year. And if Greg Roman were fired last year or this year, we'd be talking about the same thing with Lamar Jackson. So just the continuity. Having continuity like that is so important for these players. And it's not like the Ravens need continuity each and every year to get the best out of everybody, because again, these coaches are going to bring in new ideas, new techniques, new practice patterns. And I think John Harbaugh, Greg Roman, Don Martindale can all benefit from. The entire organization can benefit from this. And the whole thing with bringing in new coaches here is that, look, you can't really dictate how many coaches leave you in the offseason for Baltimore. This just happened to be a year that gutted their coaching staff. And they could have either sat around and complained about it and kind of sat there and be like, oh my God, what are we going to do? You know, our whole offensive coaching staff is gone and this defensive coaching staff is gone. So how are we going to fix this? They went out and they immediately hired guys who they knew would be the best thing for their organization. Not necessarily the whole thing that continuity isn't great and everything, because it certainly is, but having new ideas, bringing in guys who can help this organization take it to the next level, because we've seen how good this organization can be. We've also seen the potential that this organization can have. Now can you bring in the guys, both players and coaches and just personnel in general, who can take that next step and make that next leap? Obviously, stuff went wrong in 2020. The season wasn't perfect. There were definitely some down moments for this team. They responded very well to them, but scoring 3 points in a playoff game, their lowest total in over 10 years, was extremely disappointing and was kind of something that you could almost see coming in a way, because, you know, at times the Ravens struggled to pass the football, and that's not a slight to Lamar Jackson or anything. It's not even a slight to Greg Roman either, to be honest. It's just the passing offense was not there. So can you hire the guys to take that passing offense to the next level? The Ravens struggled to get the quarterback down in certain situations. Can you hire the guys to elevate your defensive tackles, your linebackers, your edge rushers to the next level? Can you bring in guys to develop these guys and make them better football players? and the Ravens did that. I'm also not slighting the Ravens coaches who left. They obviously deserve the opportunities they got, but something wasn't working. The Ravens brought in some new great hires here, and I'm not really concerned about the continuity thing. Sure, it's great, and it's going to be a tough couple of first weeks just getting used to each other, I think, between the players and the coaches, and that's fine. The coaches and the new coaches are going to have to get used to each other, just like the players and the new players that come in are going to have to get used to each other. So I think the Ravens made some slam dunk hires here. The promotion of Veer Steeg to the running backs coach kind of is the cherry on top. And this team is going to go above and beyond in 2021. I can just feel it with the way that I think free agency is going to go, with the way I think the draft is going to go, with the way these coaches are going to come in and make these football players better. Obviously, I can't predict anything right now, but right at this moment, I feel very good about where this Baltimore Ravens team is headed in 2021. We're going to head into our first break here, but when we return, we'll be talking about some mock drafts that we received via Twitter, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. There are real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. And we return with our second segment of this Purple Friday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreich, your host, still talking with you here. And we're now going to get into the first of two segments of more mock drafts that we received for Mock Draft Monday all the way back when Monday was a thing. But now we are here on Friday and still going through the mock drafts again because we got so many. And I'm very appreciative again of everyone who did submit a mock draft. We're going to be doing Mock Draft Monday again on Monday, this upcoming Monday. And I'll be putting out my mock draft Sunday on Twitter with a quote tweet from the Locked On Ravens account if you want your mock draft read out on the Monday show or throughout the rest of the upcoming week on Locked On Ravens. Be sure to put your mock draft below that tweet. So here from Matt Magden, we're going to take a look at two mock drafts from him. And his first mock draft has the Ravens selecting Alex Leatherwood, the tackle out of Alabama at pick 27, Quincy Roche, an edge out of Miami at 58. He takes Frank Darby, a wide receiver out of Arizona State at 104, Patrick Johnson, an edge out of Tulane at 131, Jalen Moore, offensive tackle out of Western Michigan at 169, Des Fitzpatrick, wide receiver out of Louisville at 184, and Shakur Brown, a corner out of Michigan State at 211. I actually do like this mock draft a lot. I think Quincy Roche is an absolute steal at 58. Alex Leatherwood, I do have some concerns about. I'd like Jalen Mayfield a bit better. Obviously, Christian Darrisaw, someone I would like to see in a Raven uniform, but he's probably going to be long gone before the Ravens pick. I don't hate the Leatherwood selection. I just think that he's more of a early mid second round player than a late first round player, although I know there's not too much difference between the two. Frank Darby is interesting. I love the Des Fitzpatrick pick. So what I might do here is I might swap out Frank Darby for an interior offensive line guy. Does Landon Dickerson fall to around 104 because of his injury history? I highly doubt it, but maybe that's a thing. Is Deontay Brown a faller? Trey Smith? There are all some good options at 104 on the interior, so maybe that's something I would do. Maybe something else I would do is instead of taking Jalen Moore, I'd take like a Drake Jackson or someone like that, just because having two offensive tackles taken in this draft, I do think the Ravens will address the offensive tackle position, but I don't know if it'll be two offensive tackles, just because right now as we stand, the Orlando Brown trade has not happened yet, if there even is one, so he's still on the roster, and while the Ravens do need a backup tackle for sure, a backup swing guy, I think if the Ravens were to acquire two tackles, I think it would be one through the draft and then one through free agency, so I do like this draft a lot. Des Fitzpatrick is someone I am bullish on. Shakur Brown is someone who I talked about on Monday and I think could make a huge impact. He can play both inside and outside, so just a few minor changes to this one. I do like it, however. And then the second mock draft from Matt Magden has the Ravens taking Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah at pick number 27, Javon Holland, a safety out of Oregon at 58, Chuba Hubbard, running back from Oklahoma State at 104. He takes Walker Little, an offensive tackle from Stanford at 131, Patrick Johnson, an edge out of Tulane, is a selection at 169, Tedarrell Slayton, the interior defensive lineman out of Florida, is at 184, and Chauncey Golston, the edge out of Iowa, is the pick at 211. I really like this draft, too. I will say I don't like the Chuba Hubbard pick. I think that's the one pick I'm not on board with here. Maybe, again, taking an interior offensive lineman at 104 might be the best case here because I don't think the Ravens need another running back. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is a phenomenal pick again. Doesn't really fill a huge need, but the talent there is undeniable. Javon Holland, the safety out of Oregon, this was kind of my 1-2 for my mock draft Sunday that I talked about on mock draft Monday, except instead of Holland, I picked Javon Moehrig. Holland is a phenomenal player. I don't expect him to be available at 58. If he is, the Ravens need to be all over him and select him. He is a rangy guy, someone who I think can make an immediate impact in this Baltimore defense, and someone who would fill an immediate need for this Ravens team. Walker Little, I do like that selection at 131. He gives the Ravens an option if Orlando Brown does leave via trade to start him, or he can be a backup guy. Patrick Johnson, I like. Chauncey Golson, I like. Two nice edge guys. And then interior defensive line is a very big need. I think it's more of those underrated needs, though, like a slot cornerback, a backup slot cornerback in that. But with the Ravens getting older on the interior of their defense, they do need some young guys in there, and I think Slayton could fit that bill. So two very good mock drafts here from Matt Magdon. I think that both of them have phenomenal players that the Ravens would be very, very happy to get throughout draft weekend. We're going to end this segment here by talking about two mock drafts by Ryan Fetched. His first mock draft has the Ravens taking Jalen Phillips at pick number 27, Landon Dickerson at pick 59, Aaron Banks, an interior offensive lineman at 104, Seth Williams, a wide receiver at 132, Chauncey Golston, an edge at 169, Brendan James, the offensive tackle at 184, and Simi Fayoko, the wide receiver at 212. And I think Jalen Phillips, again, someone we talked about yesterday, a phenomenal edge player, someone who, with the Ravens having five of their six edge guys entering free agency, it's going to be a joint effort between free agency and the draft, and even re-signing some of their own guys, of course, to fill that role and to fill that need. So having a guy like Phillips who can come in, make an immediate impact. I talked about earlier on the show how the Ravens have had some trouble getting down the quarterback in recent seasons. Sometimes generating pressure on quarterbacks can be an issue. So bringing in guys like Jalen Phillips who can make that immediate impact, that's absolutely huge. Landon Dickerson is a first-round prospect in my eyes, if not for the injury history. That does knock him down to the second round because it is a lengthy injury history for Landon Dickerson, but he's someone who I could see the Ravens really being interested in if they like his medicals and they think his medicals are all right. Aaron Banks, the interior offensive lineman, someone again who could fill in and fill in early if the Ravens needed him to. The combination of Seth Williams and Simi Fayoko, it's an interesting combination. Those are two guys that I think could make impacts. I still don't think the Ravens are drafting two wide receivers, so maybe in the seventh round, taking an interior defensive lineman or a backup slot corner instead of Fayoko, that's something that I think could happen. And then taking that backup offensive tackle is also a very good thing that the Ravens could do, is to especially solidify the tackle depth because they had none of it and they really needed it in 2020. So that was a year that they didn't do anything about their tackle depth. And Matthew Stevens, who comes on Fridays during the season, is someone who I think just absolutely just buried home that tackle depth thing throughout the entire last offseason. And he said the Ravens need tackle depth. The Ravens need tackle depth. And what don't they do? They don't get tackle depth. And what happens? Ronnie Stanley goes down and other guys start to get hurt. So it was a nightmare. And the Ravens will not have that same mistake happen to them again. They will make sure they get that tackle depth. So overall, a very nice draft by Ryan here. And the second mock draft that Ryan sent to us has the Ravens taking Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah at 27, the linebacker. Jackson Carman, an offensive tackle at 58. Dez Fitzpatrick, a wide receiver at 104. Ronnie Perkins, an edge at 131. Drake Jackson, an interior offensive lineman at 169. Cornell Powell, a wide receiver at 184, and Thomas Graham Jr., a cornerback at 211. Again, I talked about it earlier. I love the Owusu-Koramoah pick. I love what he brings to the table. It's physical football. It's hard-hitting football. He's versatile in many different areas, can play some safety if needed, can match up in the slot against wide receivers and tight ends and running backs. He can do it all. He is someone who the Ravens defense would get instantly better with. Jackson Carman, I do like this pick, although I think it's more the Orlando Brown Jr. leave scenario more than the Orlando Brown Jr. stay scenario. There is Drake Jackson here at 169, but I think Baltimore might invest in an interior offensive lineman a bit earlier. Dez Fitzpatrick, I love Des Fitzpatrick. I love Des Fitzpatrick, so I love this pick. Ronnie Perkins, a nice edge guy that could fill a hole easily. Cordell Powell, someone who I also really like, a receiver, but again, I don't think the Ravens are taking two wide receivers in this draft. And then Thomas Graham Jr., I mentioned cornerback, especially backup slot corner, is an underrated need, so I do like the pick of Graham here. Because again, the Ravens have those big needs, right? The interior offensive line, the wide receivers, the edge, the safety even, but the underrated needs, I'll say, are cornerback and interior defensive line, and even tight end is a pretty big need for this team as well, and I haven't come across too many mock drafts so far that have the Ravens taking a tight end, which is a bit surprising, and again, I haven't picked the Ravens to take a tight end in either of the drafts I've done, but I still think the Ravens could take a tight end in this draft if they really, really like someone. So again, another great mock draft here by Ryan. I do like it. I love the Des Fitzpatrick pick. I love Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah in the first round, and Drake Jackson, I think, is going to be a steal at 169 if he is there, and then Cornell Powell is another phenomenal pick, and just up and down this draft, talent all around. We're going to head into our final break here, but when we return, we'll be rounding out the week by talking about our final batch of mock drafts, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need into a traditional chain storefront. Why endure from pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. And we are back with our final segment of this Purple Friday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still hanging out with you here. And we're now going to round out the mock drafts that we received for Mock Draft Monday. We're just now getting to them today. But we are rounding them out right now, starting off with a mock draft from @inertialframe, who has the Ravens selecting Elijah Vera Tucker, the tackle out of USC, at pick 27. He then trades pick 58 and receives pick 64 and 137. Creed Humphrey, the center from Oklahoma, is the pick at 64. Quincy Roche, the edge out of Miami, is the pick at 104. Patrick Jones, the second, the edge out of Pittsburgh, is the selection at 131. At 137, Nico Collins is the selection, a wide receiver out of Michigan. At 169, Shai Smith, wide receiver out of South Carolina, is the pick. At 184, Reed Blankenship, a safety out of Middle Tennessee, is the selection. And at 247, Jalen Virgil, the wide receiver out of Appalachian State, was the selection. In the way that 247 was acquired was the Ravens traded pick 211 here and received pick 247 and a round 5 in 2022. So I like this draft a lot. Picking Vera Tucker and Humphrey back-to-back, I think, solidifies the Ravens' offensive line for years to come. Then you have Quincy Roche and Patrick Jones, two dominant edge rushers. It'd be crazy if Quincy Roche was still available at 104. Nico Collins and Shai Smith here. I don't know if the Ravens are going to take two wide receivers again. I've talked about it throughout this entire show. I like Shai Smith as a prospect. Nico Collins, I'm a bit more unfamiliar with, so maybe I would trade out Nico Collins for someone like a backup slot corner or an offensive tackle who could be a backup there, because Jalen Virgil is the selection at 247. So I don't really know how the Ravens would fit three wide receivers in here, but hey, I guess it could happen, although it's extremely, extremely unlikely. And then Reed Blankenship, a good safety to fill a need for the Ravens. So the top four in this class are unbelievable. I'd be ecstatic with this draft at the top four. And then as the draft moves on, trading out some of these wide receivers for bigger needs, I think, would really make this draft an amazing haul for the Ravens all the way through. Next, we have a draft from Austin Reno, who has the Ravens taking Azeez Ojulari, the edge out of Georgia, at pick 27. At pick 58, Deontay Brown, a guard out of Alabama, was the selection. At 104, Christian Uphoff, the safety out of Illinois State, is the selection. At 131, Nico Collins, wide receiver out of Michigan, is the pick. At 169, Chauncey Golston, an edge out of Iowa. And at 184, Quinton Bohanna, the defensive lineman out of Kentucky. The combination of Azeez Ojulari and Deonte Brown fills needs for the Ravens, and I think that is another great 1-2 punch there. Christian Opoff, again, someone who I think can make an impact at safety. There are a bunch of really high-impact safeties in this class. It's a very deep class, so I'd be on board with the Ravens taking a guy like him. And then I talked about Nico Collins just a few minutes earlier. Chauncey Golston at an edge who could pair up with Azeez Ojulari very nicely. And then again, interior defensive line, a very, very underrated need for this Ravens team, and a position I would not be shocked if the Ravens looked at even earlier than 184 in this draft. So again, a very nice draft here from Austin. I think that, again, the 1-2 punch of Ojulari and Deonte Brown makes a phenomenal class for this Ravens. And then the guys at the back half give the Ravens some nice depth. We're going to next look at a draft here from Justin Inslee, who has the Ravens taking Greg Rousseau at pick 27, Trey Smith, an interior offensive lineman, at pick 59, Andre Sisco, a safety, at 104, Ellerson Smith, an edge, at 132, Trey Brown, a corner, at 169, Cornell Powell, a wide receiver, at 184, and Kylan Granson, a tight end, at 212. The top three here, unbelievable. Rousseau, Smith, and Sisco. Sisco is someone who I'd be shocked if the Ravens were able to select him at 104. He is a phenomenal football player. Trey Smith can start immediately on any offensive line, in my opinion. And Gregory Rousseau is just a phenomenal player who I am very high on. I know that some teams are not high on him, but I am. I think Rousseau has all the makings to be a stud at the next level. Ellerson Smith is a nice complimentary piece. Trey Brown, again, corner that really underrated sneaky need because Tavon Young cannot stay healthy, so I think a backup slot corner is a really big need there. Cornell Powell, I've talked about, I love his game. And Kylan Granson, a nice little sleeper here at tight end, who I don't think a lot of people know about, but is a very well-rounded prospect. So again, up and down here, a great draft. Maybe instead of taking a guy like Ellerson Smith, maybe I would take an offensive tackle just to have the needs balance out a bit. Instead of having two edge rushers and no tackles, you have one edge rusher and one tackle. But still, I think this is a great draft. The combination of Gregory Rousseau, Trey Smith, and Andre Sisco, a phenomenal top three there. Our last mock draft we're going to look at here comes from Stephen Yackley, who says, I have us trading Orlando Brown and 169 for the Jaguars, DJ Chark 25 and 65. Also, I have no clue how Rashawn Slater fell so far, but that would be awesome. So at pick 25, Rashawn Slater, the offensive tackle from Northwestern, is the selection. At pick 27, just two picks later, Samuel Cosmi, the offensive tackle out of Texas, is the selection. At 58, Jordan Smith was the pick, and edge out of UAB. At 65, Josh Myers, a center from Ohio State, is the selection. At 104, Steven selects Kenny Yeboah, a tight end from Mississippi. At 131, James Wiggins, a safety from Cincinnati, is the selection. Tyler Vaughns, the wide receiver from USC, was the pick at 184. And finally, Joshua Kindo, the edge out of Florida State, is the selection at 211. Rashawn Slater is a phenomenal prospect. I agree. He would be a dream pick for the Ravens, especially if Orlando Brown is traded. Picking Cosmi, though, here, it's kind of a redundant pick, in my opinion. Both very talented players are Slater and Cosmi, but I don't think the Ravens need to take two tackles. You could maybe kick one inside, but I might look for an edge here. I don't know. Maybe if one of the top safeties is available, I'd select him. So there are a bunch of options there, but I don't think taking two tackles back-to-back, just two picks apart from each other, help the Ravens out in a bunch of different ways. I think that Jordan Smith is a nice player at 58, and Josh Myers is an underrated center. And then again, the tight end need is big here. James Wiggins, I've talked about on my show before. I like what he brings. Tyler Vaughns is a very underrated receiver out of USC. And finally, Joshua Kindo, I mean, what a player he is. And a guy who I think is very underrated and could be one of the steals of the draft this late. So a really nice draft here. Again, I don't necessarily think that taking two tackles back-to-back is within the Ravens' best interest, but anything can happen here. And if they think one can kick inside and the other can start outside, then that would be fine picks by me, because that would end up helping the Ravens' biggest need, which is the offensive line all around, especially if Orlando Brown does leave. But very nice prospects here and guys who can help the Ravens win both immediately and in the future. That's all that I have for you today. When we get back here on Monday, we'll be diving into yet another mock draft Monday. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you on Monday.